Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I was reading Colossians a little bit this morning. You ever have, you know, the Lord's so good. I mean, you ever have, you know, those moments you got garbage piled up against you, you know, just garbage. You got the devil sitting there pointing at you and all the wrong that you're in. And you've been guilty of it all. It's not like it's some kind of, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like, you know, and then a beautiful thing about Christ is that He has set you free. Which, you know, Brad, you're singing that song, "Awake, wake up, O Israel, put off thy slumber, for the sun shall set you free." I might have messed that up, but, you know, the point is, I mean, you come to a place where it's like, I woke up this morning, for example, it's like, Lord, I need a fresh start. You just wake up and none of the other stuff in the past matters. I mean, that's what it is with the Lord. I mean, that's how free He wants you to be. I mean, none of this stuff in the past matters. All that stuff that the enemy can hold me in a place of being wrong in. It's like, yeah. But you know what? Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ died for me. I'm guilty of all those things, but Lord, please forgive me. Wash that away. Take these things that are stacked up against me, Lord, and take them out of the way, please. I don't want them anymore. I don't want to be bound up anymore. I don't want that stuff keeping me from going forward anymore. And the Lord goes, I forgive you, and that's why I died for you.
Amen.
You know, I had that sense this morning. It was nice. Of just renewal. Refreshment. A redemption. A new start. Lord, I need a new start. Lord, I've been bound up with so much other things that are not profitable. And I need a new start. And you know, our hope lies on just that. The sufficiency of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice in washing away all sin. You know, and I was saying, praying this morning, and I was like, you know, Lord, all those things. I know it's a new day today. I need that fresh start, and I thank you for that fresh start. And it doesn't matter what happened last week. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter what happened this morning. Lord, right now, I choose you and I choose to believe your word because that's the only hope I have. I mean, that's where our hope lies, is in Him. And I was reading in Colossians and in chapter 2. And I'm going to go to chapter 2. Let's see where I should start. Let's start with just 13. Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. All that was contrary against us. All that was contrary against us. Nailing it to His cross. And He made a show of it openly. He was up there on that cross. Wasn't in a corner. And He took it. And He took the sins from the past, the present, and the future upon Himself. And God raised Him up after 3 days. And He died that second death for us. So we don't have to go to hell. And all those things that are against us are not accountable to us anymore. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's the hope that I have. It's what He has done. And that frees me. That sets me free from the bondage of the enemy, from the bondage of this flesh, from the bondage of the principalities and powers, the things that say you can't serve God. Look at you. BS. I can serve God. I can love the Lord and love one another. I can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And I can be strong in His grace. No matter how much of a wretched man this flesh is. Because I can choose to believe in what He has done for me. I have that freedom. He's given me that freedom. And all those things that are stacked against me has no power over me anymore. Right, there's another part in Colossians where it says, "For it, by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." You know, we're created to love God. Love one another. Before the curse, that's what you had. You had a populated nation. Before Adam ate out of that, the knowledge of good and evil. Their whole purpose, they loved God. They loved one another. That was their cause. That's what their purpose was. But the curse came and absolutely cut us off from that soul. And we were now... the curse of this flesh is at war with God. That's its natural state. Now we're bound to that natural state of that cursed until we accept Jesus Christ. Then we're reconnected, our soul and our spirit are reconnected again to live to for this purpose. So no matter how big your faults are, no matter what those incapabilities you might have that keep you from doing that, they're all just lies. If you will but just believe the gospel and hang on to what He has done for you, and put off those lies and those doubts, that stuffed fleshly mind trying to keep you from loving God and loving one another. And it wants to drag your soul to hell. That's its natural state. But the Lord has given us a better way. A way out from that. And with the power of the gospel. Listen to that. The power of the gospel. Those things can't hold you back unless we let them. Unless we let them. And I know I have let it gone on way too long. I know this. I was battling with this. Not to I've let it gone on way too long. But I know right now that I can serve Him and I got a fresh start with Christ. I got a fresh start because of what Jesus has done for me. Right now, this moment, this day, I get bound up so much about tomorrow or yesterday, what's going to happen tomorrow, what I'm looking at. And really, I got today. I mean, that is freeing in itself. And that's what He's trying to tell me. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow will take thought of the things of itself. Good. Because that's a load I can't handle. Amen. Today, you know what? Today's a load I can't handle. You know that? Today's a load I can't handle. But that doesn't matter. That can't bound me up all because I got hope in Him. I'm not going to worry about the next moment, you know? I'm not going to worry about when we walk out there. I'm not going to worry about it. Because the Lord's given me a fresh start. And He has no ill intent with me. Or you. None. He's given me a fresh start today. And I can give what the day holds all up to Him. I can give all that to Him. And I don't have to worry about it. But just say, yes, sir, and amen, and thank you. Yes, sir, amen, and thank you. That's really... that's the freedom that we have. But it's everything around in this world that hates God, wants to drag you down. And the number one, public enemy number one in this thing is my dang old nasty carcass. It's me. Or, you know what? My flesh, the old man. Because in Christ Jesus, I am a new creature. In Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. In Christ Jesus, we can live without that curse. Where we were created for Him and by Him. And live here for the purpose of serving God. That's what it was. And it's such a freedom. That's what it is. And He's given us that freedom. And that's a good thing. Blotting all those things that are contrary to us. I need that, Bubba. I am screwed up. We all need that. I'm done.
A proposition that I'm going to propose. Now, what if? Because all of that is that Phil's talking about there, and how we have spent so much time talking about it. It's all available. It's all available to all of us all the time. The question is, we act like we think God's going to cold cock us on the back of the head and open up our skulls and pour in obedience and knowledge and perfection. It doesn't work that way. And we're singing a song. And some of these songs I kind of choke at as they're coming out of my mouth. Great is the army that carries out His word. Yeah, it is. But that's not metaphorically. The Lord's raising an army. why we spent time in 2 Timothy talking about endure hardness. And it starts talking about, you know, a soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man warreth that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life. I could stop there. That's enough, right? Indictments. Both ends nailed up. I'm done. Toast right there. We don't have to go any further. The Lord had himself an army. He had like 600,000 men, 2 million maybe total people, 2.5 million, something like that in the desert. Moses was dragging around with him. How many dead army made it into the promised land? How many of them got the land of the inheritance? How many of the spies who went in there said, that's okay, we can take it. The Lord is our God. One of them's 80 years old. That must be it. I just haven't hit that age yet where I know I can go take it. I look out there, maybe, you know, 80 comes and I go, woohoo! I can go take it. We're supposed to be populating his army of hosts who come and make war against the enemy. Okay, so here's the what if. What if this child of inconvenience was born in a barn? And grew up in the barn and never saw anything outside the barn. And none of the four Gospels ever got written because he was born into poverty and that must be his lot in life. And he lived in the barn with the animals and died of some unmentionable, unknown disease at age 17. Or at 17 months. That would have been Jesus' story. How many of us were never connected with the Father and spent all that time establishing and teaching and empowering a kingdom force here on earth and having the love enough for them to take that love and have it nailed to the cross? Suppose Jesus had been just like everybody else and been a bitter and complete disappointment. We'd be toast. And he's not requiring of us anything that wasn't required of him. He had to choose to put off the attractive adherence to the flesh, the attractiveness of adherence to the flesh, and choose to follow the Father's will. Now, we only have a record of it happening once. I bet you it happened every day. Because I know it happens to me every day. It says he was like us in every way, yet without sin. He was tempted like us in every way without sin. We need to make more of milk of this word. Receive it. Be established in it and grow up in it. Because if we're not expecting to be part of his army, then we're never going to be a great army that carries out his word, and we're going to be unprofitable and useless. I know what I would do with something that was unprofitable and useless. And I suspect that's what the Lord would do as well. If he's raising up an army and he's telling us in this place and other places that no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He's trying to get us fit enough to be into the place where we can be chosen to be a soldier. Most of us just want to lay back in the barn. Let the animals bring food to us. Because we're selfish. There's so much in verse 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 that just it's ugly to me. It indicts me. Because I don't have the perspective of being chosen as a soldier. And I have to confess, most of the time, I don't feel like a failure to him who's chosen me to be one. And I know I'm in error in that. And I know that's what Phil's talking about. Phil's talking about sitting back and going, why is this stuff so tough? And we all do it. It's tough so you can learn to endure hardness. Because you're going to have to endure hardness to be you go through boot camp to get in Marines or the Army or the Air Force or whatever, National Guard. That boot camp's hard. But everything that has been done to raise you was wrong for somebody who's going to be part of a fighting force. You're brought up not to trust anybody. You have to trust that guy next to you. You have to trust that the guy who's giving you orders knows what he's doing. And that the chain of command works. And that was the order that he got to give to you. And then you have to trust that the guys around you know their part in carrying out that order. That's disciplined. That's regulated. That's hard. That's against our nature. That's why this Colossians is so good. It tells you what's going on. It's telling you what the struggle is about. You've been going through it, but you haven't read this. You don't know. You read this. This is what's going on. And you know, when he starts summing up in Colossians, and he starts doing it before last chapter, which is kind of arbitrarily nailed up, segregated rather, somewhere along the lines. And he's built on all this foundation. Parts of which I'll just blow through. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He has all the authority and the power to command and direct us. We're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He's the head of all that authority. He's the boss, and he's the righteous boss. Amen. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, and I'm hitting all over the place, I know that. But I'm going to get to where I'm going. I know where it is that I'm going to. And it's not necessary, perhaps, that all these different verses I read get sent up. Maybe they can. Verse 20 in chapter 2. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in this world, are you subject to its ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. You serve a higher law. Love God, love one another. And if you're going to start doing this, let me know when you pack up the family and take your annual trek to Jerusalem to offer a sacrifice. What do you mean you're not doing that? If you're not doing that, you're guilty of the whole law. You don't get to pick and choose. So, starts summing up in chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above and not on the earth. Why do you have to tell people to do that? We don't. We're not like that. It's not what we seek. Why do we have to be told to endure hardness? Because we got a hard way and we got an easy way and we want to take the easy way, even when the easy way is the unprofitable and the wrong way. Because this other one's not as pretty and not as attractive. And the result of taking the easy way is the Lord goes, well, I wanted you to take this way, so I'm going to have to be hard on you until you can see that it's my way or the other way. And my way is the easy way when you submit to it. The easy way, not so much. Because it actually reverses. His way might be to endure hardness. But the easy way is only an easy way to hell. And it might look like the attractive way. If it didn't, you couldn't be deceived. But you can't walk around deceived talking about how good the Lord's being to you. Because somebody is going to be walking around who can nail your butt and say, you're an absolute error. You're wrong. God isn't being good to you in this matter, except that right now He's revealing to you that you're in error. He's not going to allow His people to be and live and stand in the same kind of deception where our entire history started in Genesis, back in the garden, in violence. First, Satan committed murder. Satan. Satan committed murder. And then Cain slew Abel. Our whole genealogy started out in violence. It wasn't a good picture. Eve was deceived, and then violence took over. And this may be metaphorical, but I haven't seen mankind change all that much. Jesus said, what did He say? The kingdom of God is violent, and the violent take it by force.
The kingdom of heaven suffers violence.
And sometimes it not only doesn't look fair, we stand around going, how can God allow this? How can a loving, merciful God allow this? called free will. That's what it's called. Sometimes people make the wrong call. And the evil just starts bubbling up. It's what's natural to us. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Is anybody listening to this right now, listening to my voice, spend any time at all trying to contemplate that? Whether you're pleasing him who hath chosen you to be a soldier. He has been so good to us. Colossians tells you how he's been so good to us. There is a reason he's being good to us. But it isn't so we strapping, hairy, burly guys can go play with our Susie Homemaker oven. We're soldiers. We're learning how to be conquerors in the heavenlies, in the battle that's coming. We're also trying to learn how to put off this old dead carcass with its attractive allegiance, so that we can stand and stay in heaven, should we be blessed and fortunate enough to get there. I look at myself and I say, you know what, that's something I'm going to have to endure hardness for, because that's not me. I have to endure hardness. It's going to be hard putting this carcass away. It's going to be easier trusting in Jesus, because he could and did, and I can't, and left to my own devices won't. You go back to Philippians, and it's God who worketh in us to will and to do. And you go, praise God, because Psalm 51, I need my heart's awful, Lord, it gets piled up with all this garbage, and I need cleansing every day, because if I let it sit there and I don't put it off and trust that you have cleansed me from all unrighteousness, then I'm toast. I'm unprofitable to you, and I become this introverted, defeated, part of the introverted and defeated army of 600,000 men in the desert, or the hypothetical baby born in a barn 2,000 years ago who never gets out of the barn. You know, the end point of the battle and the consummation of God's army is victory. That's when the good stuff starts. However good you thought yesterday was, or however good you think today might be, or however good you might think tomorrow might be, sometimes that just always amounts to being very anticlimactic and not near as good as you anticipated, and oh darn. The good stuff, when the good stuff starts happening, you look back and say, man, how did I hang in there? Well, Jesus is good. That's how you hung in there. Sometimes he told you things that weren't convenient. That's okay. You hang in there. You endure hardness. Sometimes it's going to be hard. And you don't turn your face away. You got somebody here who's trying to develop in you somebody who can, within the line and the structure of authority, develop you into a pleasing soldier, ground pounder. That's where you start. And you prove to be profitable there, you can move up the ranks. But there's nothing humiliating about starting to me. The humiliation is never starting. I shouldn't really phrase it that way. I should say there's no shame. There's no shame in starting, because the Lord is good. And that is a trusting, faithful start. The shame is never trying, never seeking the Lord, and going to destruction. I just search your hearts and get on your knees and find the Lord's word for you in this. I'm done.